Miss Obadiah, Jonamica, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. All right, Amos, Hosea, Joel, Amos. Amos. Last, in our last study, we looked only at some introductory materials. We saw, first of all, that the man's name was Amos, meaning burden. And certainly he had a burden to bear in his message, for his message was a heavy message of judgment. And we shall see some of this evening. By profession, he had two aspects. First of all, he was a herdsman, as we read in chapter 1. In verse 1, he was a herdsman of Tekoa. And then secondly, in chapter 7, he was it says in chapter 7, verse 14, a gatherer of sycamore fruit. That actually means a pricker of sycamore fruit. So if you asked him what he wasn't a fruit picker necessarily. He was a fruit pricker. He pricked the fruit in order to make it more edible. The third thing we noticed about him was his call to preach. By profession, he was not a prophet. He says, I was not a prophet, nor by education was he a prophet. He says, nor was I the son of a prophet. And to be a son of means to be a follower of or a disciple of. He was not disciplined in the matter of being a prophet. Rather, he was called by God. It's interesting to see how God just calls some men out and he makes them a firebrand for himself without any special background or calling, but God just uses them as they are. His style of writing, we said, was very classical, very precise and meticulous. Beautiful, beautiful writing. Now tonight, we move on into the book itself, The Message, and we begin with the judgments of Jehovah, 1:1 to 2:16. The first part is the superscription in 1:1. We'll notice just a couple of things about this superscription this evening. The words of Amos, who was among the herdsmen of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. You well remember that Israel was actually divided into two nations at this time. The northern kingdom called Israel, and Judah, the southern kingdom. Who was the king of Judah at the time this prophecy was written? Take a look at it now. Who was? Uzziah was the king. Who was the king of Israel, the northern kingdom? Jeroboam. Actually, it's Jeroboam the second. There were two Jeroboams. This is Jeroboam the second. These two men were contemporaneous around 765 B.C. Can anyone happen to remember when the northern kingdom was carried away captive? What year approximately? 722 or 21. 722 or 21 B.C. So it was approximately 40 years before the northern kingdom was destroyed. That's the first thing we noticed. But there's something else you'll notice. It says at the end of verse 1, 2 years before the earthquake. Now, we don't know what earthquake they're talking about, but it must have been a tremendous earthquake, because Zechariah, who prophesies more than 200 years later, still refers to that earthquake. It must have been a great shaking. Some say it occurred at the time that Uzziah went into the temple, remember, and offered up the offering that was on the incense, and he wasn't supposed to do this, and God gave him the plague of leprosy. Remember when this happened to him? He went into the temple, and God gave the plague of leprosy to Uzziah, and he dwelt in his own house apart for the rest of his life, for he was a leper. Some say that's when it happened. We don't know, but it must have been a tremendous shaking, and he uses this as a basis for his time. Now we move on to the next point, the judgments on the surrounding nations, 1:2 to 2:5. And under that, we have a number of points. First, did you get that in case you're taking notes? Capital letter B, they announce the judgment on the surrounding nations, 1:2 to 2:5. Now, the announcement of the judgment in 1:2. Now notice, and he said, that is Amos said, the Lord will roar from Zion. and utter his voice from Jerusalem. And the habitations of the shepherds shall mourn, and the top of Carmel shall wither. You'll notice that the judgment that he is describing goes all the way from the shepherds, evidently in the region of Tekoa, all the way up to Carmel. Now, Tekoa is down right here. Here is Palestine, basically. Tekoa is south of Jerusalem. Here's Jerusalem. Here's Tekoa. Carmel is way up here. So he's looking at the whole region coming under judgment. But would you notice where the judgment originates? Where does God roar from? Huh? Take a look at it. Where from? From Zion and from Jerusalem. To what kingdom was Amos called to preach? The southern kingdom or the northern kingdom? He went to the northern kingdom. Now, it's strange, isn't it, that he would say, the Lord will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, when actually he was up in the northern kingdom when he was preaching. Well, we'll see more about that later. Why is that so? Whenever you're studying your Bible, always ask why. Always ask why. Be like a baby, or I should say baby, be like a youngster. Why? 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 You all have gone through the stage of raising children, and they always ask, why? Why? Well, you be like that when you come to the Bible. Why now does Amos speak of judgment coming from Jerusalem when he's speaking to the northern kingdom, and they did not recognize Jerusalem as its capital? So we begin with the announcement of judgment in 1:2. Now we move on to the judgment of Damascus. I want you to follow this now very carefully on the map. The judgment of Damascus, 1:3-5. Here is Judah, the southern kingdom. Here is Israel, the northern kingdom, in the time of Jeroboam II. And here is Damascus, the kingdom of Damascus, and the capital is right there. All right, now let's follow through and see what he has to say about the judgment on Damascus, 1:3-5. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Damascus, and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because they have threshed Gilead with threshing instruments of iron. But I will send a fire into the house of Hazael, which shall devour the palaces of Ben-Hadad. I will break also the bar of Damascus, and cut off the inhabitant from the plain of Aven, and him that holdeth the scepter from the house of Eden, and the people of Syria shall go into captivity unto Kir, saith the Lord. Syria is the same basic area as Damascus. Now you'll notice that the judgment is against this kingdom to the north. And Israel would say, oh, that's fine, that's good. I'm glad to hear of that judgment against Damascus. After all, they're our enemy. Be about something like hearing God's going to get Fidel Castro in Cuba. And we would say, amen, Lord, that's good news. And so Israel would hear of the judgment falling on Damascus, and they would say, amen, that's good news. Now let's look at it just a bit more. In each one of these, he says, for three transgressions and for four. Look at verse 6. For three transgressions of Gaza and for four. Verse 9, thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Tyre and for four. Verse 11, thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Edom and for four. Verse 13, thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of the Lord, three transgressions of the children of Ammon and for four. Chapter 2, verse 1, for three transgressions of Moab and for four. Chapter 2, verse 4, thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Judah and for four. Seven times over, for three transgressions and for four. Now, what does that mean? Well, this is what it means. God could have judged each one of these places for three sins that they committed. Three sins which they committed. He could have judged each one of these, any one of them, for three sins. But he didn't judge them on the basis of three sins. He waited until the fourth sin came along, and then he judged them. Now, on the basis of this, the Pharisees said, how often should you forgive a brother? three times, because God didn't go beyond three times. He waited for them to sin three times, and then after that, that's it, my friend, the fourth one brought it around. So when Peter says, how often should I forgive my brother? Until seven times? Oh, he was being very generous and magnanimous. He was going seven times, and the Pharisees said three times on the basis of the book of Amos, because God, they said, only held back until three times. But on the basis of this, the fourth one, and he mentions the sin in chapter 1, verse 3, they threshed the inhabitants of Gilead. Now, where's Gilead? Now, look at the map here now. This little dot is the Sea of Galilee. You can't see it, but the River Jordan runs down here to the Dead Sea. Right in this area is Gilead. And they evidently made some invasion down here and threshed the inhabitants of Gilead. We won't take time to look at it, but in case you want to jot down in your notes some of the things that are described here, just jot these references down. 2 Kings, chapter 8, verse 12. Chapter 10, verses 32 to 36. Chapter 13, verse 7. You want those again? 2 Kings 8, 12. Chapter 10, verses 32 to 36. Chapter 13, verse 7. And it describes how these men ripped up the women with children and so on. It is a horrible description of the sins. And because of this, judgment is going to fall. And there are three judgments. I'll have to hurry here. I'm going too slowly. First of all, in verse 4, I will send a fire into the house of Hazael, which shall devour the palaces of Ben-Hadad. The first thing that will happen, cutting off of the king. The king's dynasty will be cut off. Hazael was the king. He was the one that did these dastardly deeds. Ben-Hadad was his son. And so he's saying, I'll cut it off so thoroughly that I'll cut it off even so that his son will not have a durable reign. Secondly, the city of Damascus would be invaded. Verse 5, I will break also the bar of Damascus. Thirdly, the people would go into captivity. Now, I will not go into each one of these as thoroughly as I would like. I'm just going to have to go around and notice each one of these quickly. The judgment of Gaza, verses 6 through 8. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Gaza, and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because they carried away captive the whole captivity to deliver them up to Edom. That is, they evidently captured some Israelites and sold them into captivity to the Edomites. So he says, because they carried away captive the whole captivity to deliver them up to Edom. But I will send a fire on the wall of Gaza, which shall devour its palaces. And I will cut off the inhabitant from Ashdod, and him that holds the scepter from Ashkelon, and I will turn mine hand against Ekron, and the remnant of the Philistines shall perish, saith the Lord God. Now, once again, let's look at a map. Study your Bibles with your map in hand. You won't understand it unless you do. Here is the area of Philistia, where the Philistines lived. The Philistines had one primary capital, although they had five city capitals. The primary one was Gaza, right here. Now, what other cities does he mention in this paragraph? What's the first one besides Gaza? Ashdod. Here it is right up here. It's another capital city in Philistia. What other one? Pardon? Ashkelon? All right, there it is, right there. Another one. Pardon? Ekron. And Ekron is right up here. And so what he's doing, he's pointing out the various cities of the Philistines that will fall judgment. And the Israelites would say, oh, good news, Lord. There's good news tonight. I love to hear that judgment on the Philistines. All right, let's move now to the next one. The judgment of Tyre, verses 9 to 10. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Tyre and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because they delivered up the whole captivity to Edom and remembered not the brotherly covenant. Evidently, the people of Tyre helped in this transaction. When the people of the Philistines sold the Jews or the Israelites to the Edomites, evidently commercially, the people of Tyre helped them. And it says, and they remembered not the brotherly covenant. But I will send a fire on the wall of Tyre, which shall devour its palaces. Tyre is to the north. It is right here, the capital city, or one of the capital cities of Phoenicia. So again, we find judgment on one of the neighbors of Israel. And it says it's because they did not remember the brotherly covenant. And evidently, this is looking back to the time when David and Solomon had good relationships with Phoenicia so that they could send to Hiram and get the various cedars and so on for the construction of the temple. Well, the king of Tyre forgot about this brotherly covenant, and he cut himself off, and he did harm to the people of Israel. The next point is the judgment of Edom, verses 11 to 12. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Edom, and for four I will not turn away its punishment, because he did pursue his brother with the sword, and did cast off all pity, in his anger did tear perpetually, and he kept his wrath forever. Now the great sin here is not specified, except for one general sin. He would not get over his wrath. Paul says, let not the sun go down on your wrath. These people tore perpetually, and he held his wrath continually. Verse 12, but I will send a fire upon Teman, which shall devour the palaces of Bozrah, two great cities in Edom. And here is where Edom is located. Edom is located right down here. Bozrah is mentioned right here. I don't see the other one, but Bozrah is right here to the south. Now, the people of Israel say, that's good news, Lord, but you're getting a little closer. And from here on out, every one of the nations that is mentioned is related by blood to Israel. How are the Edomites related to the Jews? Esau. Edomites are the descendants of Esau. Remember that? Abraham, Isaac, and Isaac had two sons, Jacob and Esau. And Esau is the forefather of the Edomites. So he's getting closer to home. All right, let's move on to the next one now. The judgment of Ammon, 1:13 to 15. 1:13 to 15. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of the children of Ammon, and for four I will not turn away their punishment, because they have ripped up the women with child in Gilead, that they might enlarge their border. But I will kindle a fire in the wall of Rabbah, which is another one of their cities, and it shall devour its palaces with shouting in the day of battle, with a tempest in the day of the whirlwind, and their king shall go into captivity, and his princes together, saith the Lord. And once again, it is a neighbor, and once again, it is a relative of Israel. Here is Ammon, and this judgment is against the people of Ammon. Where did the Ammonites come from? Right. The forefather of Ammon is Lot. You remember the terrible sin of how Lot was drunk two successive nights, and he was seduced by his own daughters. And the offspring of that incest, that horrible sin, was the Ammonites. But it was a blood relative. And God said, I'm going to judge them for three transgressions and for four. I'll just leave this up for the next one. Moab, chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Moab and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because he burned the bones of the king of Edom into lime. But I will send a fire upon Moab, and it shall devour the palaces of Kiriel. And Moab shall die with tumult, with shouting, and with the sound of the trumpet. And I will cut off the judge from the midst of it, and I will slay all his princes with him, saith the Lord. So here again, we have the people of Moab. Where do the Moabites come from? Oh, that's the other son born of Lot in that horrible sin. The one was Ammon, the other is Moab. And once again, judgment on a blood kinsman of the Israelites. Now, chapter 2, verses 4 through 5. The judgment of Judah. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Judah and for four I will not turn away its punishment, because they have despised the law of the Lord and have not kept his commandments. And their lies, that is, their idolatries, and their lies caused them to err, after which their fathers have walked. But I will send a fire upon Judah, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem. And the people of Israel say, well, Lord, just look at that now. Just look, Lord. You have judged the people of Damascus. You have judged the Philistines, the Phoenicians, the Edomites, the Ammonites, the Moabites, and the people of Judah. And we're in favor of all of these people, all of these judges. For all of these judges have done us harm. All of these nations, I should say, have done us harm. And that brings us to the next point in our message. Capital letter C. The judgment on Israel. 2:6-16. What is going to happen here? What is Amos going to say? You come back on May 13, and we shall find out what will happen. Now, let me discuss just a bit, by way of application, some things we can learn about God and his judgment in this passage. Remember now, the theme is judgment, and here are some lessons concerning judgment. The first thing I want to point out is this. I learned from this passage the certainty of judgment. Every single prediction that Amos made here came to pass in time. Some of them took 20 years, some took 40 years, some took longer. But every single judgment came to pass as was predicted. And it shows that God's judgments are unfailing. What he has predicted, he will do. There's a second lesson that I learned. I learned the thoroughness of judgment. Did you pick out the prominence of fire in these judgments? Just keep your Bibles open now. Look at it. Verse 4, but I will send a fire. Verse 7, but I will send a fire. Verse 10, but I will send a fire. Verse 12, but I will send a fire. And then you'll notice in verse 14, but I will send a fire. Chapter 2, verse 2, but I will send a fire. Chapter 2, verse 5, but I will send a fire. Whenever you study your Bibles, always look for things that are repeated. Those are important. I will send a fire, I will send a fire, I will send a fire. What does that mean? That means that God's judgment is thorough. What is more thorough than fire? And so he is saying, God's judgment is piercing, it examines, nothing will escape it. I will send a fire. There's more about God's judgment. I learned that the basis of judgment is God and his righteousness. Let's go back to chapter 1, verse 2. And he said, the Lord will roar from Zion, and his voice from Jerusalem. Why not from Gaza? Why not from Damascus? Why not from Rabbah? Why not from Ashkelon? Why not? Because God didn't dwell in these places. The reason why judgment proceeded from Jerusalem is because this is where God's temple was. And God's judgment is always according to himself. The great sin today, I shouldn't say the great sin, but perhaps one of the great sins of our age, my friends, is the throwing off of absolutes. And we throw off absolutes today and all standards of righteousness and goodness because we've thrown God off. That's why. There are no absolutes because we have no God. And that's why he goes back to Jerusalem, because that's where God is. There's another lesson that I learned. I learned that God's judgment ultimately reaches to his own people. Judgment on the Damascus. Hey, that's good, God. Judgment on the Philistines. Amen, God. Judgment on the Phoenicians. Yes, Lord, amen. So be it. Judgment on the Ammonites. Yes, Lord, amen. Judgment on the Moabites. Yes, Lord. The Edomites. Amen. Judah. Yes, even Judah. Judgment on the Israelites. Israelites, why, sure enough, there it is. Chapter 2, verse 6, thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Israel and for four. And what he is saying is this, God not only judges the enemies of righteous people, God even judges his own people. It's a principle of judgment that God judges his own. As Peter says, judgment begins from the house of God. There's one final lesson, and this is the great one. I learn in these lessons on judgment the grace of God. For three transgressions and for four. One would have been enough. Just one transgression could have brought about God's wrath and judgment. Two would have been significant. Three would have been sufficient. But God waited until the four. And I see here God's grace and patience and long suffering. For if he dealt with us according to our sins, we should all be consumed.